Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Anyhow, the story so far, it all started with a letter. And this letter was published on, it was written by George Giorgio. He is the managing director of Honeyfields. Honeyfields, well, I'm going to ask him to tell us what they do, because you probably will know their products well. And it was published on social media. I think, you know what, let me read you the letter, and then you can, says, message to all our Jewish clients. Dear clients, I would like to clear the facts about the status of our kosher products. We have not changed any ingredients or manufacturing procedures. The UOS has issued a statement that our products are not kosher certified due to a contractual breach. We would like to inform the public on the facts of their ransom actions. The UOS has inflated our fees by 600% for the year 2020. This unjustified inflated fee will greatly affect our prices to the Jewish community. Similar institutions like SANA, that's the South African National Halal Association, have fees that are only 12% of their new 2020 fees. They perform exactly the same function as the UOS. Now, on that note, I just want to tell you that SANA are as stringent as the Kashrut department. They're as stringent. The laws are different, but they are as stringent. In 2003, Honeyfields were paying 1,500 rand per year in fees, excluding VAT. In November 2016, they were charged 7,500 per year in fees. 2018, it was 8,043 per year in fees. That was a 7% increase. 2019, they were charged 8,647 per year in fees. That's a 7% increase. For 2020, the UOS want to inflate their fees to 45,560 rand per year. They, Honeyfields, have refused to make the 600% increase. Their halal license currently costs them 6,542 rand and 28 cents per year in fees. They invested over 3 million rand in packaging, machinery, equipment and factory improvement that is dedicated specifically towards the kosher and power of products. They have challenged the above at the Competition Commission Council, as they feel a 600% increase is unfair practice. And they remain faithful to the Jewish community. George Georgiadis joins me on the line right now. Good morning, George. How are you?
Hi. Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
Well, thank you. George, what made you go public with this?
Well, purely based on the facts that you just read, I feel it's not fair that those costs need to be burdened by the consumer.
Right. When were you notified of the increase? Was it during COVID or before COVID?
So it was before COVID, around September 2019.
And what did you make of it then? I mean, did you seek legal advice? Did you try and speak to them and say, look, you know, it's unreasonable. It's 600% increase.
So I'd just like to prove that there's a clear difference between your products being kosher and Parev and the financial side of this. In September 2019, there was a printing error on one of the packaging, and this was resolved then. So what's transpired since then and now is purely a fee battle issue that we have. Correct.
I think you raise a very important point, George. And I think it's also important for the community to know that something can be kosher without being kosher certified. So, for example, if I go to my local greengrocer and buy a butternut, it's kosher. It doesn't need to be kosher certified. The same is true of flour. The same is milled flour. The same is true of coffee. The same is true of many, many products. They don't need a heksher. So firstly, how long have you been providing? Let me take one step back. George, what products do you supply to the Jewish community?
Products?
What products
So our entire range is certified to either a milk-based product or Perev. Some of our biggest customers, like the OK Kosher World, sell our entire range. So our range is national. It's found in all the major retailers. And we've got a big customer base.
Okay, so
definitely a big Jewish customer base.
Okay, so these are ice creams. These are ice cream cones.
It's ice cream cones and chocolate related products. So it's cones, plain, it's sugar cones, chalk lined, it's chocolate baskets, chocolate spreads, chocolate vermicelli. It's quite a range for the ice cream industry, ice cream related products.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. How long have you been kosher certified?
I think the better of 10, 20 years. I mean, we are a 30-year-old business.
Yeah. Where to from here, George? I mean...
So, the rabbis are misleading in terms of the argument, the letter that we received back from Rabbi Goldstein on Friday is misleading. On the 22nd of July, Rabbi Goldman did an inspection at our factory, and there was three items that he wanted to finalize on, that being equipment. Yes. He needed a new stainless steel table in a position. He needed new molds, chocolate molds, color-coded, and he needed the trays where the chocolates were packed in to be labeled. And that was done and proven to him. On the 28th of July, he replied with an email that he cannot do a final inspection because Rabbi Rabin had not given him permission to do that. So that proves that even though the products, even though you do conform, they hold you to ransom with this, with the fees. So they since then, that's where we've stopped, we've landed up in this situation.
George,
the fact that they wanted to charge only 20,000 rand odd for 2020 is not true. It's still 45,000, but split over 3 years. So my question is, will my turnover increase by 600% over 3 years? And I very much doubt that.
Okay. It's a very concerning, and I have to tell you that other companies have come forward, and we're going to be speaking to them over, the next few days. And we obviously are also going to speak to the Beth Din department, to Rabbi Dovi Goldstein. What have your other experiences been? I mean, where to from here? What are you hoping that the Competition Commission is going to do? I mean, have they said that they would look at this?
Yes, so just briefly, there's two or three items that are very important that the Competition Commission governs over all businesses in South Africa. The first one is to achieve a more effective and efficient economy. The second is to provide for markets in which consumers have access to and can freely select the quality and variety of goods or services they desire. The third being abuse of a dominant position is prohibited. The fifth, to charge an excessive price to the detriment of the consumer. And the last one being refuse to give a competitor access to essential facilities when it is economically feasible to do so. And these are all negative towards the Beth Din in their actions and the way they manage the certification.
Yeah.
So we are currently looking at another catcher. Is that how you pronounce it?
Hecher
from Montreal.
Yeah.
We are looking at that, and if there are other companies that are also interested that have been treated in this manner, you know, they're welcome to send me an email, and we are definitely looking at a second option.
George Giorgio, thank you so much for your time this morning, and we'll certainly keep in touch.
Lovely. Thank you.
Thank you so much, George. God bless.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. That's George Giorgio. He is the managing director of a company called Honeyfields.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.